tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left.
Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. I hope each of you have had an amazing week. It has snowed in my location. It has snowed 8 inches this past week, and so my family have been very blessed. 4 children and their significant others, and Shaziz and I. And we really had a lot of fun this last week with the snow. Shaziz and Kara and I, we made some videos and made some snow face angels, smiley snow face angels in the snow this week. And then our whole family was here, and they we all got into this great big huge family snowball fight. And so this week has been very blessed. It's been a lot of fun. But I hope each and every one of you have also had an amazing week. Well, friends, this is the final show before Christmas. Not my final show forever, but just the final show before Christmas. So I wanted it to be a special one. And so God laid this upon my heart to share with all of you today. Today's message is Happy Birthday, Sweet Jesus. That's right. We are going to celebrate His birthday today. But first, let us bow our head in an opening prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for becoming a baby in a manger, and later shedding your innocent blood, that we sinners might have salvation. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, our Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. We thank you, thank you, thank you, for the sacrifices you have made for all of us, so that we can be with you. Today I ask that you anoint this vessel, and may the words I speak come straight from you. And we glorify your name, and we celebrate your birthday. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Well, I want to thank you all for joining me in that opening prayer. And before I begin, I want to let you know today's message may run a little over an hour. So I hope each of you will stay tuned in until the message is over. So let's get started with our birthday celebration for Jesus today. What does the Bible say about the birth of Jesus? Scripture goes into great detail about the prophecy and the events surrounding the miraculous birth. And this is one of the most important events in biblical times. And each of you out there may have different beliefs, and that's okay too, but this is my belief, and I'm not trying to push my beliefs onto any of you out there, because I know that there are so many of you, different cultures, different countries that celebrate different ways. But I'm just sharing with you what I believe, okay? So anyway, scripture goes into great detail about the events surrounding the miraculous birth. And this is one of the most important events in biblical times. In Matthew 1:21-23, the Bible says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from all their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. In Luke 2:7, the Bible says, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them." In Luke 2:21, the Bible says, "On the 8th day, when it came time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived." And in Luke 2:11-14, the Bible says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." Friends, there have been many important births throughout history, such as scientists, doctors, humanitarians, George Washington, Tesla, Martin Luther King, missionaries, and that's just to name a few. That doesn't even scratch the surface. But none greater or having more significance than the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. One birth stands out far above all others. It is the most important birth there ever was or ever will be. It is the birth of Jesus Christ. In John 1, 1-18, the Bible talks about the Word became flesh. Jesus coming in flesh as a man is called the Incarnation, a word that means in the flesh. The Bible tells us that Jesus is God in human form. In verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made through Him. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Now, I want to share something that I want to share something with you guys. I want to share how all of this came to be. And so, this is the birth story of Jesus. There was a man and a woman named Joseph and Mary, and they were in a relationship. They lived in the northern town of Nazareth. God sent an angel, Gabriel, to visit Mary one day. The angel came from a heavenly place to tell Mary, who was yet still a virgin, that she had been chosen to give birth to the Savior of the world. Can you imagine what might have been going through her head when this angel appeared and told her this? Can you wrap your own mind around how you would feel if this were to happen to you? Mary was initially frightened until Gabriel explained to her why he was there, who he was, and told her that she had found favor with God. He said, "Peace be with you. God has blessed you and is pleased with you." Gabriel explained to her that she would become pregnant and conceive a child, a boy, by the divine power of the Holy Spirit. He will be God's own son. Mary was still quite afraid, but she decided to trust in God. She said, "Let it happen as God chooses." And so this birth was to be a normal birth, but it was to be a one-time event that was quite unique in all of history. Gabriel told Mary a few things about her soon-to-be son. First of all, he was to be called Jesus. Secondly, he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High God. Thirdly, God will give him the throne of David. And then there will be no end to his kingdom. He will be called Holy, the Son of God. Gabriel assured Mary these things would surely take place because nothing will be impossible with God. Mary had a cousin named Elizabeth that was also to have a baby before her. And this baby was to be called John, later to be called John the Baptist. And this baby's purpose, when he grew up to be a man, was to prepare people to welcome Jesus. And also, he baptized Jesus. Mary and the angel ended their conversation with Mary humbling herself to the will of God. When Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, he didn't know what to think. He was confused about the situation. How could a virgin be pregnant and conceive a baby? Had she been unfaithful to him? What should he do? People would think that Mary had been unfaithful to Joseph. But then in Matthew 1:28-25, the Bible tells us that Gabriel came to visit Joseph in a dream. Gabriel assured Joseph that Mary's pregnancy was not because she had been unfaithful to him, but instead was a gift from God, and that Joseph should not be afraid. Again, the angel concluded with Joseph that the baby's name would be Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, in the Hebrew meaning, is Jehovah, God will save. When Joseph woke up, he understood and did what he commanded to do. But during this time, over 2,000 years ago, There was a king named Herod, and he was a horrible, horrible, mean ruler. He ruled over Judah, which is now part of Israel. He reigned over the area where Joseph and Mary lived. It was part of the Roman Empire. The Roman Emperor, Augustus, wanted to have a list of all the people in the empire to make sure they paid their taxes. He ordered all the people to return to the place where their families originated and enter their names into a registry. Mary and Joseph traveled from Nazareth. Most people walked, but some were fortunate enough to have a donkey to help them carry goods needed for their journeys. And Joseph and Mary were blessed with a donkey to carry her, as by this time she was quite pregnant with baby and was due to be born very soon. When they reached Bethlehem, they had problems finding some place to stay. So many people had come to register their names in the census that every house was full and every bed was taken in all of the guest rooms. The only place to stay that Mary and Joseph could find was with the animals. So in the place where the animals slept on a cold December night, December 25th, Mary gave birth to Jesus, the Son of God. In those days, it was custom to wrap newborn babies tightly in a long cloth called swaddling cloth. Jesus' bed was the manger that the animals actually ate their hay from. In the hills and the fields outside Bethlehem, shepherds looked after their sheep through the long night. As the new day began, suddenly an angel appeared before them, and the glory of God shone around them. The shepherds before them and the glory of God shone around them, as I just said. The shepherds were very scared, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I have good news for you and for everyone. Today in Bethlehem, a Savior has been born for you. You will find the baby lying in a manger." And then many more angels appeared, lighting up the sky. The shepherds heard them praising God, singing, "Glory to the highest and peace to everyone on earth." When the angels had gone, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem to see what has happened." And so the shepherds went to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph. The baby Jesus was lying in the manger, just as they had been told. When they saw him, they told everyone that the angel had said, and everyone who heard the story was amazed. Friends, can you just imagine this, the story of Jesus as I'm sharing with you today? It's so amazing. It's just, it's hard to wrap your head around such glory and such amazement. But then the shepherds returned to their sheep, praising God for sending his son to be their savior. When Jesus was born, a brand new bright star appeared in the sky. Three wise men from a faraway country saw that star and guessed what it meant. It meant that there was the birth of a special king in Israel. They were men of great learning, these three wise men, clever men that studied the stars and knew when a new star appeared in the sky that it meant a great king was born. They set out to find the new king and bring him gifts. The wise men followed the star toward the country of Judah, and when they got to the capital of Jerusalem, they began to ask people, "Where is the child who is born to be king of Jews?" Well, Herod, the king of Judah, heard this, and he was very angry to think that someone might be going to take his place as the king. He asked that the three wise men bring Jesus back to him. Find Jesus and bring him back. So, when they were there before him, Herod asked those three men, as I said, to find Jesus and tell him where the baby was. He was not a nice man. He was not a good ruler. He was terribly mean. And so, Herod tried to trick the three wise men by asking him, you know, "When you find baby Jesus, please tell me where he's at so that I can go and worship the baby Jesus too." But Herod had no intention of worshiping baby Jesus. he had an evil plan to kill the baby Jesus. He thought Jesus sounded like a new king that could come and take all of his power away. The wise men followed the star to Bethlehem. It seemed to stop and shine directly down upon the place where Jesus was. They entered the place where Jesus, Joseph, and Mary were. They bowed down to worship Jesus. They spread the gifts out before baby Jesus. The gifts were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men were warned in a dream by God not to go back and tell Herod where the baby Jesus and his family were. And so they returned to their home, taking a different route to get there. After the wise men had gone, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," the angel said. "Take Jesus and Mary and escape to Egypt. Stay until I tell you, for Herod is going to come in search of Jesus to kill him." Joseph got up, took Jesus and Mary during the night, and left for Egypt, where they stayed until Herod died. But when Herod realized that he had been tricked by the three wise men, he was furious, and he gave orders to his men to kill all boys aged 2 or younger in Bethlehem and the surrounding areas. This was an attempt to find the new king, to kill him. However, Herod's plan failed. And so after Herod died, Joseph had yet another dream in which the angel appeared to him again and said, "Get up, take Jesus and Mary and go back to Israel, for those who were trying to kill you are dead." Joseph got up, took Jesus and Mary toward Israel. But when he heard Herod's son was now the king of Judah, he was afraid. And so they went to Galilee and lived in the old town of Nazareth instead. And before we start on the second half of today's message, I want to go ahead and go to a short break. But please, stay tuned in to listen to these next two songs and to listen to the second half of today's message.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. Long lay the world in sin and
welcome back, and thank you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. I am happy that you have decided to join me. If you are just tuning in, today's message is Happy Birthday, Sweet Jesus. And this will be the final message before Christmas, not my final message forever, but just the final message that I will be having before Christmas, December 25th. I will be back the following Saturday. God has laid this message upon my heart to share with all of you today. It's all about the reason for the season. So come on, let's do some more celebrating of our sweet Savior's birthday. Thus far, we have been listening about how his birth came to be. Through the second half of this message, we will be exploring the history of why Jesus was born and why Jesus' life and death are so important to you and I. The Gospels tell us that Jesus was born on December the 25th, and he died on the cross at the time of Passover. We celebrate Easter around the time of Passover to celebrate Jesus' death and his resurrection. Why did Jesus come to earth in fleshly form, and why did he have to die? To understand this, we need to realize why it was Jesus' destiny to enter this sin-sick world. Jesus Christ was born and lived on earth for a little over 3 decades, making him in his 30s when he died. Why? Few realize that ultimately there was no other option. God created the world with all of its splendor and beauty, and it was good. He created man, Adam, and later Eve from Adam's rib so that man would not have to be alone. But Adam and Eve messed things up badly. And because of that, God's great plan for mankind included the necessity of a Savior, a Redeemer of mankind. Jesus had to be born because of mankind's sin. God created Adam and Eve in a place and placed them in a beautiful environment that supplied all of their needs. In the Garden of Eden, our original human parents found food plentiful, animals tamed, and a loving teacher, God himself, accompanying them and teaching them everything that they needed to know. If only Adam and Eve had obeyed God, they could have been the ones that bridged the gap between mortality and immortality. They had access to the tree of life. They had every advantage. So what went wrong? Adam and Eve did what every human being has done. They sinned. They disobeyed God. God gave our original human parents the gift of free choice, the freedom to decide whether they would obey him or not. They failed to make the right choice. God allowed Satan in the form of a serpent to attempt to throw God's will for mankind off course. This is found in Genesis 3:1-4. The devil appealed to Eve's vanity, convincing her that she could be as God himself, knowing good and evil. Satan blatantly lied to Eve, convincing her that she didn't need to depend on God for anything. Satan offered Eve instant gratification. Eve was willingly deceived, so she ate the forbidden fruit and then presented it to her husband, and so he, too, ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan's deception and Adam and Eve's willingness to fall for it meant that a Savior had to be born after Adam and Eve sinned, or mankind would have been eternally lost, cut off from God. If Jesus had not come to earth and allowed himself to be sacrificed to save mankind from its sins, which began with Adam and Eve in the garden, that is what would have happened. Jesus also had to be born because God wanted to reveal his own character to humanity as a living example of his righteousness so that we could become like him in mind and spirit. God gave Adam and Eve everything they needed, but they chose to follow Satan and fall for his lies. They ate of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. The wrong choice, this rebellion against their Creator, severed their close relationship with God. Severed, sorry. God cast them out of the Garden of Eden, cutting them off, cutting off all access to the Tree of Life, which was symbolic of God's Holy Spirit. Genesis 3:22-23, Jesus had to be born because where Adam and Eve had failed to carry out God's mandate to glorify Him in their lives, it was left for the Son of God, thousands of years later, to ultimately fulfill the divine revelation of God's character and purpose for man. Jesus had to be born to remove the sins of mankind through a perfect sacrifice. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all offered up sacrifices to God. It was a test of obedience and faith that each of them were asked to sacrifice something that meant the world to them. They passed the test, and just before the moment of sacrifice, God intervened, and they didn't have to go through with whatever they were asked to do. Hundreds of years later, before Jesus' birth, God revealed through His faithful servant Moses a religious system that included animal sacrifices and offerings. God instructed His people during this time to set up in the wilderness the tabernacle or the tent. God filled the tabernacle with His glory, but still Jesus had to be born, because without the true sacrifice, humanity was doomed. All humanity would die with no hope beyond the grave. Jesus had to be born for mankind to have a mediator. Jesus was the mediator of the new covenant. But what were the terms of the new covenant? God explained that this is my new covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. The Lord saith, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hebrews 8:10 and Jeremiah 31:33. The law written on the believers' hearts under the terms of the new covenant is the spiritual law of God. This is where the Ten Commandments derive from. From this, the believer can purge his conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Upon acceptance of the terms of the new covenant, receiving salvation, by asking the Lord to come into your heart and forgiving you of your sins, the believer is then given the gift of the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within each of us, so that God can write His laws on the believer's heart and mind. Hebrews 8:8. Through faith in God, people of all nations have access to God's mercy, forgiveness, and reconciliation and love with God the Father. God does not show favoritism. His plan of redemption includes all people from every walk of life, all over the world. In Galatians 3:28-29, the Bible tells us, There is no Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male or female, no race, no ethnic groups, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to His promise. The word heir is key here. Through Christ, all believers become sons and daughters of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8:17. God doesn't have any grandchildren. We are all His children. Jesus had to be born for God to make His Spirit available to all mankind. Not only did He have to be born, but He also had to pay the penalty for our sins through His own death, and then be resurrected to ascend to the Father as our High Priest. Only through this process would humanity be able to receive and benefit from the incredible gifts of God's Holy Spirit. Jesus' death, the ultimate sacrifice, made possible the forgiveness of all of our sins, which in turn enables us to look forward to living and reigning with Christ in the kingdom of God, the eternity in heaven. Through Christ Jesus, God restored that which was lost in the Garden of Eden, access to a right relationship with God. The salvation of mankind was dependent then upon Jesus coming to earth and living a perfect life, and then dying as the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, for you and I, for every disobedience by every man and woman who has ever lived and ever will. Jesus had to be born because He is our Redeemer. Why does sin require a Redeemer? Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin are death, but the gift of a God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, all of us have earned the death penalty for our sins. No one is perfect, but God made some allowances for sinners to be redeemed or brought back from the death penalty by our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. God promised Adam and Eve a Redeemer before He even cast them out of the garden, and He followed through with His promise. Friends, redemption is a prominent theme throughout the entire Bible. 2 Peter 3:9, God in His love and mercy is long-suffering, not willing that any should ultimately perish. Timothy 2:4, He wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of His truth. Jesus was and is the Messiah, the one promised to redeem us all from our sins. God has made it possible for all people to enter an intimate relationship with Him, which is why Jesus had to be born. Friends, I sincerely hope today's message, God's message, has resonated in each of your hearts today. I pray that each one of you would have a better understanding of the real reason for the Christmas season. So many of us have forgotten the real reason. We are so busy with all the material things, and that we've become accustomed to all these material things. But that's not the real reason for the season. People start Christmas shopping so early nowadays. Some start when the new year begins in January. Some start in November, right after the Thanksgiving, with Black Friday sales and cyber deals, shopping for the next Christmas that is yet still over a year away. But, folks, that's not what it's about. We start asking our children for Christmas lists as early as September, 3 months or even more before Christmas even gets here. But since when has Christmas become more about the gifts than celebrating the birth of Jesus and spending time with the people that we love? What about those in need? Those without family or friends? Those who are struggling with depression, financial, physical, and relationship problems? What about the homeless? What about the dysfunctional families and the children being abused? Aren't they more important than gifts? Christmas is not a time to be greedy. Some folks have the mentality that they can't wait for Christmas to come around. Perhaps you have unthinkingly taught your own children to be the same way and forgot to teach them the true meaning of Christmas. Because they will finally... They want that gift that they've been waiting for all year long. Friends, can I lovingly say, if you have the Lord in your heart, if you have a roof over your head, food in your mouth, family and friends who love you and want to spend time with you, transportation and finances to meet your needs, a warm, cozy house and a bed to come home to at night, then, folks, you are truly blessed. You're already rich. You've already received the most important gifts of all. And those are the ones that you should be waiting, you know, just those are the ones you should be happy for. So, anyway, honestly, remember that Christmas is only a holiday because Christ was born. And without that, we wouldn't have a Christmas holiday. The only reason we give gifts on Christmas, the real reason is a tradition to do so, is because the gifts we exchange is a reminder of the gifts that the three wise men gave to Jesus when he was born. Friends, as I grow older, my Christmas list gets smaller. The things I really want for the holidays cannot be bought. I wish for things like all of my family and friends to be happy, healthy, loved, and be filled with the joy of Christ and live a blessed life. Friends, the magic of Christmas isn't the presents, but it is in His presence. If we want to keep Christ alive in Christmas, then we need to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, forgive the guilty, welcome the stranger and the unwanted child, care for the ill, and love our neighbors and enemies as Christ loves us. So friends, here is my grown-up Christmas list for this year. No more lives torn apart, that wars would never start, time would heal all hearts, everyone would have a friend, right would always win, everyone would have family to spend time with, my family and all to find salvation, to follow the Lord, and that love would never end. And so with that, let us all bow our head in a closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, please help each of us to remember this holiday season, the birth of Jesus, and all the sacrifices God has made, that we may share in the song of the angels, the gladness of the shepherds, and the worship of the wise men. Close the door of hate and open the door of love all over the world. Let kindness come with every gift, no matter how we choose to bless someone. Maybe in good deeds, helping one another this year, and good desires with every greeting. Deliver us from the evil by the blessing which Christ brings, and teach us to be merry, joyful, with clear hearts. May the Christmas morning make us happy to be children and heirs of God, and the evening bring us to our beds with grateful thoughts of forgiveness towards others and being forgiven by our loving Father. Thank you for these answered prayers. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said. Thank you for joining me in this closing prayer. God bless each and every one of your families and you. Christmas is celebrated differently all over the world, and every country has their own traditional ways of celebrating the holiday season. But I want to wish all of you out there all over the world, from our family to yours, have a very, very Merry Christmas. From Shaziz, Kara, and I. Until we join again next week, same time, same place, may God richly bless you and yours this Christmas. And we love you.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Próspero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Próspero año y felicidad. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.